Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, the public affairs programs that presents to you interviews with pundits, poets, prognosticators, people who care about culture, creativity, and the things that you care about. Every week on the show, I provide you a little bit of conversation, a little bit of jazz, something surprising, a poem or two, and this week will be no exception. Although I'll take some time aside to tell you about Maxine Hong Kingston, who's reading on the UC Davis campus tomorrow, or about Hannah Stein and friends who are reading at Logos Books on 2nd Street here in the city of Davis tomorrow evening at 7:30. I'll tell you about those events. I'll tell you that Random Abilities will be performing at Bistro 33's Poetry Night a week from tonight. But right now, I'm going to tell you that it's midterm time. Regular listeners of this radio show know that I often teach freshman seminars, and that one of the most anticipated and beloved assignments, if you ask any of my freshmen, is the opportunity to come on this radio show and to share with us original work. Well, so will be the case this afternoon, for I have a bevy of students who have been enrolled in my 3 poems a week class. And in that class, they have written poems, read poems, we've watched videos of poems, we've discussed poems, we've learned about writing, about culture, about Allen Ginsberg, about Henry Ford, about a great number of thinkers and writers and musicians. And now it's time for them to share with you what they've learned. They've been writing original poetry all quarter long, about 21 original poems so far. Each one of them is going to share one or two of those poems as part of their midterm exam. It's time to meet some UC Davis freshmen on this, the Washington's birthday edition of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsor.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, with a quick reminder that this is just one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this radio show. And the other public affairs programs are impressive in quality as they are variety. On Monday mornings, for instance, you can hear It's About You with Franz. She helps you get in touch with your own personal code of ethics. Tuesday mornings for years now, we've enjoyed This Week in Science, a radio show that has taken off and is now a cultural phenomenon. Google This Week in Science to see what I'm talking about. Thursday afternoons, Radio Parallax with Dr. Douglas Everett. He'll cover topics in politics, space travel, conspiracy theories, people who are having a good week, It's the show that's been most lauded in the pages of the Sacramento News and Review. And on Friday afternoons, you can hear Speaking in Tongues, where there will be thorough analysis of the most recent appointment to the City Council of the City of Davis. All of that as part of Public Affairs at KDVS. Check it out by visiting our website, kdvs.org. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're talking about poetry this afternoon, and I'm going to introduce you to some of the poets who are taking a 3 poems a week freshman seminar with me this quarter. First up is Peter Neely. Peter Neely is from New Haven, Connecticut, where he lived for the entirety of his life, except for a semester spent in New York. And now he is a first-year student here at the University of California at Davis. His major is undeclared, but he's ready to declare himself now with some fine poetry. Peter Neely, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
My first poem is called Nature Waltz. Dancing in the street and dancing of the wheat is a discreet distinction. The beat enough to lift me from my feet and direct my limbs where it may. But you see, the sounds came from no chord manipulation, but a strange determination to feel what is not there. The hopping fleas and the humming bees understand the state of affairs. The sonic vibration of a cosmic plantation, the rhythm has always been there. The ears and the eyes find with surprise a lack of melody in the air. But the mind is not blind to the infinite chimes, afraid of the monotone glare. The trees and their leaves and an animal sneeze, blades of grass blowing as a dare. My feet follow the clangs of the jingles and bangs, a music box ballerina gone awry. My next one is called Tundra. The bright white morning, a blanket covering the veil. Plows roll through quietly, disturbing the sterile hush. A homegrown holiday commences. I run out to find remnants of the recently cleared street, glowing with dust once again. An Everest of cloud-formed crystal gifted to me by those flat-faced monsters. I am no climber, though, and tunnel my way into a fortress of solitude, developing my artillery and biding my time. An enemy attack begins by the kids around the corner. Snowball warfare is a serious game. Truce is finally called when our fingers are frozen. We convene for a hot chocolate armistice before the final battle to decide the king of Westville.
That's great. That was Peter Neely joining me here at Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Peter, welcome to the program. So in that first poem, is that in part about the culture shock of moving from New Haven, Connecticut to Davis, California?
In some way, because I found that when I started school, I ended up doing a lot more impromptu dancing and just a lot more like random dance parties, I guess. And we had to write a slam poem, and a lot of my stuff doesn't really rhyme, but I don't know. It was kind of interesting to do like a rhythmic poem.
I like the rhymes in that poem. I think in your next to last line, or maybe the one before, you've got a nice internal rhyme that reminded me of something that Edgar Allan Poe might write. Do you see what? Can you remind us what lines I'm alluding to here?
My feet follow the clangs of the jingles and bangs.
There you go.
A music box ballerina.
I guess the way that do you know Annabel Lee by Edgar Allan Poe?
Mm-hmm.
So he had a line that had the same sort of rhyme. And it went something like this: and neither the angels in heaven above nor the demons down under the sea can ever dissever my soul from the soul of the beautiful Annabel Lee. I think Poe's most famous poem with clangs, though, is probably The Bells. Do you know that one?
I don't. We read Annabel Lee before we read Lolita, sort of relating it, I guess.
So relating oddball romantics.
I guess. Well, his early childhood romance at the beginning of the book, I guess, is supposed to be based on Annabel Lee.
Right.
So we read it and then sort of, yeah.
The Bells is a great poem. You should add it to your reading list. And I'll say this to all the students who are sitting in the green room as well. Here's stanza two of The Bells by Edgar Allan Poe. Hear the mellow wedding bells, golden bells. What a world of happiness their harmony foretells. Through the balmy air of night, how they ring out their delight from the molten golden notes and all in tune. What a liquid ditty floats to the turtle dove that listens while she gloats on the moon. Oh, from out the sounding cells, what a gush of euphony voluminously wells. How it swells, how it dwells on the future. How it tells of the rapture that impels to the swinging and the ringing of the bells, bells, bells. Of the bells, 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 to the rhyming and the chiming of the bells. So something for you to check out when you get a chance.
Yeah,
all right. Peter Neely, great job. Thank you very much. Why don't you send in three more poets to come take these seats while I play for folks at home a little bit of jazz. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. It's time for a midterm for my poetry students here on KDVS. Stick around for more poetry. There's a big event tomorrow afternoon that you may want to be a part of. Maxine Hong Kingston, the author of the 1975 creative nonfiction memoir called The Woman Warrior, is coming to UC Davis tomorrow, Thursday, the 24th of February, 2011. She'll be speaking from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Bueller Alumni Center. The Woman Warrior is the most assigned book at American colleges and universities. Subtitled A Memoir of a Childhood Among Ghosts, an MLA poll revealed that The Woman Warrior is taught more than any other book on college campuses. Maxine Hong Kingston is the winner of the National Book Award, the National Book Critics Circle Award, and many others. President Clinton gave her the National Humanities Medal in 1997. Maxine Hong Kingston, reading tomorrow, February 24th, 2011, from 4 until 6 o'clock at the Bueller Alumni Center. Sponsored by the University Writing Program at UC Davis. Well, we're back with more of my student poets from a class that I'm teaching this quarter. This is Dr. Randy of Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour, reminding you that if you want to find out more about this show, you can visit poetrytechnology.com. But first, we're going to hear from Vivian Sue. Vivian Sue is a student here at UC Davis who's majoring in sociology and communication. She minors in textiles and clothing. She's planning to pursue a career in clothing advertising. And from Folsom? From Folsom. And she loves the University of California at Davis. Here she is. You don't need the headphones. Vivian Sue, welcome to Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you here.
Should I talk into this?
Yes, you should. So, tell us the title of the poem that you've prepared.
I don't like to put titles to my poems, but if I was going to put a title, I would use the word, this is really cliche, but the term havoc.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to start.
Sure.
Words unspoken and the minutes run out, emotions strangled by the underlying doubt. Women cry out in the streets afflicted, their children's bodies shriveled from internal drought. Bandage the scratch just to draw attention, no one stops to inquire about the superficial pout. Needles and syringes, razor blades and ribs, a cry for help, the evidence reaches out louder than you could shout. Keep pace with your pulse, racing faster with fear, don't look back, just run until you reach the right route. The look on your face displays your confusion, don't you know what any of this is about?
Great. And havoc is not a cliche at all, but I'm curious to know what inspired this poem.
Well, these are one of my poems that I kind of wrote, and it's like when you give us time in class to like kind of write about something, and I was flipping through the pictures, and it was just a picture of havoc, and I think that this poem could be applied in so many different things, whether it's just like havoc within the home or havoc in a hospital, or just it can kind of, in any small situation, the word can be placed anywhere and the term can be placed anywhere. So I thought it was like kind of cool because anything can be havoc to anyone.
Absolutely. I've got three children, so I know havoc.
Yeah.
I'm going home to havoc right after this radio show. Vivian, that was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Now let's hear from Aaron Fink. Aaron Fink is a first year student at the University of California, Davis. She enjoys playing club water polo in her free time. As a bio-sci major, Aaron Fink rarely has time to enjoy the arts, but she always makes time for poetry. Born and raised in San Diego, Aaron loves the beach and spending her nights with family and friends. She enjoys watching and critiquing film and meeting new people. Aaron, what is the title of the poem that you're going to be reading today?
My title is Life of Monotony.
Life of Monotony. Great, let's hear it.
Okay. Thud, thud, thud. The wooden door lays heavy between them, protecting from the depression they share. Complacent lifestyles attempting to cope with the immense boredom they once feared when young hearts fluttered. Thud, thud, thud. The door opens slowly as he pushes inside. Inside her life, inside her heart, and inside her body. This isn't love anymore. Thud, thud, thud. The impassionate thrust seemed to reach into eternity. His odor fills her nostrils as she counts the freckles spotting his nose, recalling the bright life and excitement which all has passed. He watches TV with blank eyes, almost unaware she is beneath him. Thud, thud, thud. She places the flowers in a vase. Slowly they fall, hitting the bottom of the glass with a tink. Sad and lonely, trapped, shut off from the world, severed from the life they once knew. Thud, thud, thud. She walks back to the bed, slightly listening to his review of work. No different than the days preceding this, and no different than the days to come. Lying her head onto the soft American linen, listening to the light crinkle of the sheets. Sadly reminiscing on the life before he tied his noose around her finger. The lights click off, along with the television. His wet lips kiss her cheek as she cringes at the thought of another day. The passion turned off long before the lights. Thud, thud, thud. She walks to the kitchen, pacing her footsteps to the rhythm of his snores, slowly opening the drawer she knows too well, heart pumping, fresh blood, gripping the American steel. Thud, thud, thud. Time for the only rush she feels in life, ruby-red pain leaving her soul. What happened to the excitement they used to share? Why aren't they still in love? Where did the passion, spontaneity, and joy go? Has life been reduced to this never-ending thud she feels inside her ribcage, pumping sadness through her limbs and numbing her? The sink fills. The blood falls with each thud of her heart, like perfect wine-colored raindrops dripping onto the bottom of the American metal. Thud, thud, thud. Returning to the cold bed, wondering if this is the only way she can live. The cuts will heal and morph into scars, but the pain never seems to escape.
Wow, that's very nice. I liked that that line about the noose around her finger. Could you share that one with us again?
Of course. Sadly reminiscing on the life before he tied his noose around her thin finger.
That is nice. there's a great poem that you should know about by Adrienne Rich. And I'm going to bring it up casually now. As if I had it in my head, which of course I do.
Congratulations. You've been selected to receive a $1,000.
All right, excuse me. We've got someone who's interrupting our conversation here. And that is Aunt Jennifer's Tigers. Have you ever encountered this one, Audrey and Rich?
No, I have not.
Let me see if I can share it with you now and see if there's any echoes to the one that you just read us. Aunt Jennifer's Tigers by Audrey and Rich. Aunt Jennifer's Tigers prance across a screen, bright topaz denizens of a world of green. They do not fear the men beneath the trees. They pace in sleek, chivalric certainty. Aunt Jennifer's fingers, fluttering through her wool, find even the ivory needle hard to pull. The massive weight of Uncle's wedding band sits heavily upon Aunt Jennifer's hand. When Aunt is dead, her terrified hands will lie still ringed with ordeals she was mastered by. The tigers in the panel that she made will go on prancing, proud and unafraid.
Wow.
So other thoughts on, I guess, being stuck in a loveless marriage.
Yeah.
So interesting. Erin Fink, that was wonderful. Thanks very much for sharing that poem.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And one more poet before our break. I'd like to introduce you all to Avneet Kaur. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Kaur.
Kaur. Yeah. Thank you. Avneet Kaur is here, and she is a first-year student at University of California, Davis, studying biological sciences. From Sacramento, she aspires to become a pharmacist after she graduates from this fine university. Avneet, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you. My poem is named Colors. A little swish, swash, here and there, with red, yellow, blue, orange, mixed, tangled, convoluted, big blob, small blob, blob of all sizes, splashed carelessly by the creator. Must have not taken long to create. A bad mess, one may guess. A disaster, another may procure. Yet deception is the first glance I learned. Now that I know, I cannot help but look back. At the freeness of the colors to forget, about form, the boundaries that restrict, breaking away from lines to acquire naturally what they're meant to be, brilliantly colorful.
That's wonderful. And the title of that poem, was it Colors?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the inspiration for that particular work.
I saw a painting, and it wasn't actually a picture, but a whole mix of colors. And it really appealed to me because usually you have colors in, like, fixed lines and stuff. But what I liked about the painting was it was just a mix of all colors, and I just liked the freeness. It just gave me, like, inspiration to be, like, free and express myself the way I want to.
That's great. Now, when you talk about freedom, you've got some well-written and interesting lines there. How do you translate your first impressions of, say, seeing those beautiful colors into lines of poetry that have a number of limitations and requirements? The least of it might be clarity and precision.
Like, when I first saw the painting, I just saw, like, a mix of colors. Like, it just looked like colors were just splashed onto the painting. So that's why I had a little swish splash here and there. So it's just, like, just the way I saw it and what I thought about it when I first saw it.
Wonderful. Well, Avneet Kaur, thanks very much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, folks, you see what's going on here. I'm interviewing poets rapid fire about their original work, and you are the beneficiary. We've got more poets coming up and more announcements. For instance, Hannah Stein is reading tomorrow night. That's tomorrow night, Thursday night, the 24th at 7:30 at Logos Books. It's on 2nd Street, right across the street from the old Mishkas. Right now, across from the new Mishkas, you can find the Avid Reader. But across the street from the old Mishkas, on 2nd Street, between D and E, you'll find Logos Books, the used bookstore that gives all of its proceeds to good causes. They'll be hosting a poetry reading tomorrow night featuring Hannah Stein. I'll have details about that and more when we return to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
This is Dr. Andy with an important message from American Technologies and American Restoration. American Technologies and American Restoration remind us to do what we can to help preserve and protect our environment. Recycle bottles, cans, plastic, and paper. Check for and remove hazardous materials such as lead and asbestos for a safer home, work, and school environment. We can all make a difference. Our children's future depends upon it. This important message is brought to you by American Technologies and American Restoration in Sacramento. You may visit them online at amer-tech.com. On the air because they care about the welfare of this community. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This afternoon on the program, as bumper music, as we call it in the industry, we're enjoying the music of Errol Garner. This is a two CD set. First is called Dream Street, and this is a track called Blue Lou. Errol Garner on piano, with Eddie Calhoun on bass and Kelly Martin on drums. Next up is Frederick Zavala. In addition to being a poet, Frederick Zavala is a third-year student here at the University of California at Davis, majoring in community and regional development. Frederick Zavala, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Good to have you here.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Just fine, thanks. What's the title of the poem that you've prepared for us today?
What Makes the Ladder?
All right, What Makes the Ladder? And is that the ladder such as the ladder one might climb?
No, the one that comes second.
All right. All right, sounds good. Let's hear what you have. Frederick Zavala, ladies and gentlemen.
A football is round, maybe diamond shaped, but when it's at play, it has everyone running or going around, going itch. Maybe it's a knife that's didn't fit, just like politicians that keep blabbing on and on, but we feed their rage, their power we become one. As people, we jump up because we think it's all fun. But take me to a place, take me to a place, a town where the people run scared, where there's no such thing as equality, like Africa and Africans in 1940 to 1980 with apartheid. Little black books? Yeah, no such thing as tranquility. Where we wind up measuring superiority to inferiority, the Tutsis and the Hutus. I ask the question. People say that's too depressing if you ask me. So sit down and think, because I hope this arouses your curiosity.
All right. And what inspired that poem?
I'm involved in this club called Anti-Genocide. Anti-Genocide in Africa, and We were just talking about it, like, not long ago, but, like, a week ago, and we were just talking about apartheid and going on Africa, and I felt like doing, interpreting all the locomotion, maybe, like, out in the field, the people's feelings of just going around and all this locomotion, like I said, and just combining that with, okay, well, yeah, tell me about a time, like I said, tell me about a time when people are running scared, not just for enjoyment, but when people are running scared, and I feel that during this time, people were scared genocide was occurring, and people had to be, in all their senses, just to make sure they, you know, stay alive.
Right, right. Do you find that a lot of your poems come out of political topics?
Yes, yes. I also thought about doing one on gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
On gentrification, and yeah, I think so. I think like through poetry, you can express your political views.
Right. Absolutely. All right, Frederick Zavala, third year student in majoring in community and regional development. Thanks very much for coming to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Great, thank you.
Sure. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, and I'm introducing you rapid fire to a number of my students in a freshman seminar that I'm teaching this quarter called Three Poems a Week. Next up is Faye Seyfan. She's an artist first and a writer second. She enjoys writing poems and short stories, but she is most passionate about creating paintings and sculptures. Faye, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Same here. And what's the poem that you have created to share with listeners this afternoon?
It's just Mian. And what that is it's an ethnicity, an Asian ethnicity that a lot of people don't know about, and it's who I am, and I feel like I should let people know what it's all about.
Absolutely. How do you spell it so that people can go look up more about you and your people?
It is M-I-E-N.
Excellent. Great. Let's hear your poem.
I am Mian. What is Mian? These thoughts are deep. It creeps. Seeps into me naturally. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what it's not. It's not Japanese, Chinese, Cambodian, Korean, or Thai. It's not a shame to admit its identity. Invisible to so many that don't know what or who it is. So sick of explanations, reiterations of the same thing. No home to call its own, it's a lost thing. Nothing written down, sounds from the heart, listens from the soul. Oh no, it is not easy being Mian, being me. You see, I have to speak English constantly. But English books, literary exchange won't change me. Mian will forever be my identity.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well done. There's even applause from the Peanut Gallery here for that particular poem. Wonderful. When you think about the sort of things that influenced your writing style, would it be things you've read, things you've heard, particular favorite poets? What sort of echoes do you hear in that that poem you just shared with us?
I think I was really inspired by Eminem. I used to listen to Eminem all the time when I was younger. And I also go to slam poetry shows, so I go see them, and then I get inspired by how they deliver their poems, and it's always different every single time when somebody else delivers it, so I got my inspiration from that.
That's great. I'll remind folks that we do have a spoken word collective here at University of California, Davis. They call themselves Six Bits, S-I-C-K-S-B-I-T-S. And no, there's an S-P-I-T-S at the end there. If you want to find out more, they are on Facebook, and they have an event every first Tuesday of the month in Griffin Lounge on the UC Davis campus. And because March 1st is right around the corner, that's next Tuesday, we can expect another Six Bits event for those of you who would like to check it out. Faye, that was wonderful. Thanks so much for sharing your poetry with us.
Okay, you're welcome.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'm sharing my students with you this afternoon here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thank you.
There are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
It occurs to me that public service announcement featuring the voice of the late, great Latino actor Ricardo Montalban speaks of over 700,000, or is it 70,000, children who have been helped. One of my kids is one of those many kids who's been helped. And because the PSA, I think, is at least a decade old now, it is no doubt a much larger number. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, reminding you that the KDVS fundraiser is coming up in April, from April 18th until 24th. That is the week when just about every hour of the day and every minute of this show, I will be, and others, will be imploring you to share with us the funds that we need to keep this great community and campus radio station on the air. Many of you know the sad story of the yanking of the license of KUSF in San Francisco, no longer a free-form radio station run by students. There are so few of these great resources left. Find out more by visiting kdvs.org and plan to help us out, won't you, when the fundraiser comes beginning on April 18th, right after Picnic Day. And if I'm lucky, I'll have Chris Whitey Erickson join me here in the studio to get you all to share. Ariella Drexler is my next guest. She is a 19-year-old English major from University of California at Davis. She's a creative writer. Someday she'll be a teacher as well as the author of a novel. She's a student in a class that I'm teaching this quarter called Three Poems a Week. And she's here to share with all of us one of the poems that she wrote this quarter. Ariella, welcome to the program.
Hi, Andy. Thank you.
Sure. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about this poem that you've written to share with listeners of this radio show?
Well, the poem's called Daisy. I'm from a really small town where there are fields by the hundreds. And my dad and I went for a walk one day, and behind our house there's this beautiful green field where it just kind of overlooks this really deep valley. And I sat with my dog, and I was just, you know, looking out, and I saw this daisy, and it just, that memory kind of resonates with me. And for the three poems a week, it really went with the theme. So,
excellent. Great. Why don't you share it with us?
Okay. I plucked a daisy from its cloud of dew and aqua and reveled in its light yellow sunshine. Pearly white petals stretched like tiny fingers welcoming the new day, reaching towards the morning sky. The center sends yellow rays of life from its golden palm to each blinding fingertip. The day's eye begins with that burst of delightful simplicity, a firework of sparkling ray and sun, sending beauty into a sea of green. The joy of this tiny wonder, a marvel of cheerful delicateness, spreads a blissful mouth of teeth across my adoring face. Like a stranded ship at sea, a single star in the midnight sky, the daisy pops its head out into the world of spring and life. I skip with the beautiful flower and dream of butterfly kisses.
Oh, that's very nice. Have you shared this poem with your dad? He might have been nearby when you were experiencing.
I haven't actually. That's a pretty good idea.
It is. You know that Father's Day is coming up in June, so you might save it for then. Why don't you put on the headphones? We'll see who the caller is, and maybe it's someone who has a response to that last poem. Caller, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Are you there, caller? Someone who lost his or her nerve at the very last moment. All right. If you have any commentary for any of my student poets, you can give us a call at 530-752-7000. 2777 here at KDBS. Ariella, that was wonderful. Thanks so much for sharing a poem.
Thank you, Andy.
Absolutely. Well, we've got, I think, just one poet left in this long litany of fine versifiers. Marissa is here. Marissa, is your last name pronounced Corpus?
Corpus.
Corpus, okay. Marissa Corpus is here. She studies biomedical engineering here at the University of California at Davis. She is a guitarist, she is a writer, and she's really looking forward to sharing with all of you a poem. And Marissa, this is the first time you've had a chance to read a poem on the radio.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm sure it won't be your last. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is with an original work, Marissa Corpus. Go ahead, Marissa.
This poem is called Let Me Talk to You Today. Let me talk to you today. It will be quick. I don't have much to say, just three words. I won't take much of your time in hopes to draw out the moments you'll stay, to hold your gaze in momentary repose, the last time I felt so at home. Just three words. So let me talk to you today, one last second of your life, then I will go away. One more moment to talk to you, as when damp, gray skies were the brightest you, only because our friendship felt so true. Just three words. Three words so small and fleeting, three words entrusted with infinite meaning, spoken in a moment or less, no waste of time, no more than a wink, only a match of hope in the grasp of darkness. Just three words.
That's very nice. So tell me a little bit about what either inspired that poem or about the writing process. What do you think about when you think about that work now that you've finished it and successfully read it on the radio?
I don't really know. I just wrote it. A lot of times I I just kind of write how I'm feeling at that moment.
Do poems like that one come to you quickly, or do you have to agonize over individual lines?
No, this one came really quickly. It was just exactly what I wanted to tell that person at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was almost like a persuasive argument for why, like, I should be given that time, because it was only just three words.
Yeah. Do you write original music for the guitar as well, or do you mostly sing other people's songs?
Definitely just other people's songs. I'm trying to work up to writing my own, but right now I'm still in the learning process of guitar and strumming.
I think you should. This is a good indication that you would do well with that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Marissa Corpus, for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, folks, that's the last of my student poets, but I certainly have more to share with you myself. First, a little bit of jazz here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. Thank you. Hope you're enjoying this quirky, irreverent piano jazz. This comes from Errol Garner. This particular tune is called The Lady is a Tramp. Played as you've never heard it before. Hey, there's a poetry reading tomorrow night. I alluded to it earlier. I'm going to be showing up with my son, Juki. And if he's not too disruptive, I'm going to stay for the entire event. This coming Thursday at 7:30, that's February 24th, Catherine Hastings and Hannah Stein, who's one of my favorite Davis poets, will be reading their poetry at Logos Books, which is at 513 2nd Street. You might have heard about this reading previously. Catherine Hastings is a good friend of Hannah Stein's and a poet who conducts the Word Temple Poetry Series in Sonoma County, as well as a poetry radio show on Santa Rosa's NPR affiliate, KRCB-FM. She's got a new book out called Updraft, which has recently come out from Finishing Line Press. And her chapbook, Fog and Light, was published last month by Ahadada Press in Ahadada Reader 3. Hannah Stein herself, she didn't include a bio of herself in this email that I have because that's just how modest she is. But she has been a practicing poet for decades now here in the city of Davis. In the past, she's been a featured reader at Poetry Night, which is held at Bistro 33 and the John Itzulis Gallery. And these two poets will both be reading at Logos Books. I spoke of Logos Books before, but it's my favorite new bookstore here in the city of Davis, in part because of all the great causes that they support with all of the proceeds made by this bookstore. Again, Logos Books is at 513 2nd Street, February 24th, that's tomorrow, at 7:30. Hannah Stein and Catherine Hastings will be giving a reading. Well, other things coming up later in the year, including in April, would be the Feminist Film Festival. Spring is the time for film festivals. The UC Davis Film Festival and the Feminist Film Festival, these are often supported by the Varsity Theater, our own independent theater on 2nd Street. Here is more information about the Feminist Film Festival in Davis.
The Davis Feminist Film Festival's two-night grassroots festival of short films featuring
local, national,
and international filmmakers side-by-side mixing
narrative,
documentary,
and experimental styles. The films highlight perspectives and issues concerning
gender,
race,
sexuality,
and social justice
that are too often missing from mainstream media. Festival is a campus community effort involving UC Davis students,
faculty,
and
staff, along with community members / organizations and downtown businesses.
It's on April 14th and 15th. Reception at 5 p.m. Films start at 6 p.m.
For more information, visit femfilmfest.ucdavis.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hear from Ted Rettke. Theodore Rettke was a poet often associated with the Pacific Northwest, as well as with greenhouses. One of his most famous poems was titled, I Know a Woman. Let's hear it now, read in the voice of the poet himself. Ted Rettke, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
I knew a woman, lovely in her bones. When small birds sighed, she would sigh back at them. How when she moved more ways than one. The shapes a bright container can contain. Of her choice virtues, only God should speak. Or English poets who grew up on Greek. I'd have them sing in chorus, cheek to cheek. How well her wishes went. She stroked my chin. She taught me turn and counter-turn and stand. She taught me touch that undulant white skin. I nibbled meekly from her proffered hand. She was a sickle, poor I the rake, coming behind her for her pretty sake. But what prodigious mowing we did make. Love likes a gander and adores a goose. Her full lips pursed, the errand note to seize. She played it quick, she played it light and loose. My eyes, they dazzled at her flowing knees. Her several parts could keep a pure repose, or one hip quiver with a mobile nose. She moved in circles, and those circles moved. Let seed be grass, and grass turn into hay. I'm martyr to emotion not my own. What's freedom for? To know eternity. I swear she cast a shadow white as stone. But who would count eternity in days? These old bones live to learn her wanton ways. I measure time by how a body sways.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. The world of book publishing is changing. It's changing rapidly because of all of the different technologies that we use, such that before long we may not be talking specifically and only about the container of those words, the book, but of the book's context. You might remember when we had John LeSquaw here on this radio show 2 weeks ago, he revealed that he could probably make a living, feed his family with food bought at the Davis Co-op only on the funds that he makes from audiobooks. We also know that not only is Amazon.com selling more virtual books, more Kindle books than it is hardbacks. Very soon, if not already, they'll be selling more Kindle books than paperbacks. Where does this leave the rest of us? Where does it leave the aspiring author? Perhaps with more choices, some of them difficult. Many of them covered in a conference I attended this past weekend, the San Francisco Writers Conference. I've been attending for about 7 years. And boy, I've learned a lot about social networking, print on demand, ebooks, building platforms, the website as hub, the necessity of blogging if you want to be not only an author, but any sort of entrepreneurial business person. These and many other topics are covered during Washington's Day weekend at the Mark Hopkins Hotel, famous for the people who have performed there over the decades. Val Kilmer was spotted in the elevator just on Saturday night, for instance. He gave quite a performance in that movie, Top Secret. How are you going to perform your work? Who else will be performing it? How will it be read? Will it be on an iPad, a Kindle, an iPhone? Or will wood pulp provide the medium of choice for your fans? Do all these choices make it more likely or less that you'll be writing that book? Certainly publishing is easier. Anyone can publish a book. Anyone who has enough money. What's the sort of recognition you require and you crave? Either way, it's crucial to work on craft. And of course, if you're an undergraduate at UC Davis, we have a great number of resources available to help you do that. All of you should become better writers. And all of you, if you're UC Davis students, should check out the writing minor. If you take enough classes, you can show the eventual companies that you might be working for that you're hireable. Also, if you're an undergraduate at UC Davis, you should know that the Associated Students of UC Davis contracts with an attorney to provide free legal advice to registered undergraduate students here at this university. For your free 15-minute consultation, you can come into the ASUCD Student Services Office, room 347 in the Memorial Union, and bring your reg card. For more information, contact the ASUCD Student Services Office at 530-752-1990. This public service message is brought to you by KDBS and by Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Well, we are just about out of time for this program. I'd like to thank the many undergraduate poets who joined me on this radio show today. It's always a pleasure to expose large audiences to new voices. And thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you'll stick around because we've got some great music around the corner right after this public service announcement. A thanks once again to the YOLO Federal Credit Union for underwriting this program. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'll see you next week, I hope, right here on the radio, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you then.